Good morning, and welcome to the Nettius Q3 2012 results conference call. Hosting today's call are Milo Stvari, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Jonny Stick, Chief Financial Officer. Following management's formal comments, you will now have the opportunity to ask questions. Mr. Godlewski, you may now begin.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and again, welcome to Nettius quarterly results conference call. Through our call, we will be referring, as always, to the presentation posted on our website earlier this morning. So please get hold of this presentation, and we'll be referring to page numbers as we walk you through the results. So let's start with just taking a look at key highlights of the third quarter, and it is shown on the page two of the presentation I referred to. Revenue in the third quarter was 521 million zlotys, which is 32% up on year-on-year basis, obviously driven by the two acquisitions we've added toward the end of the fourth quarter last year. And it was 3% down on quarter-on-quarter basis. And as you will see later, it's driven by Nettias residential subscriber base continuously contracting. But there is also a very good news of the business segment remaining stable in the third quarter, and we'll be sharing with you more our hopes about the business-to-business segment going forward. We had stable profitability supported by synergy extraction from Dialog and Crowley acquisitions, so adjusted EBITDA was 157 million for the third quarter, which represents a 1% increase on quarter-on-quarter basis. And we had free cash flow of 244 million in the first 9 months of 2012 and 84 million respectively in the third quarter of this year. Our net debt is up slightly at 459 million zlotys in the third quarter, and it represents only 0.76 of the adjusted EBITDA guidance for this year. You will also know that the second tranche of the share buyback program is completed, and we've utilized for that 75 million for the repurchase of 3.3% of share capital. And we are progressing with a third tranche of the buyback, and which we should spend for up to 50 million zlotys or 2.5% of the share capital. Let's take a closer look at two distinctive segments I referred to already on page three, being home and business. In both segments, Dialog and Crowley customers are already allocated to those segments. So Dialog customers now are being fully served on Nettia Home organization. For the home segment, revenue was 265 million in the third quarter, which was down 4% compared to the second quarter, mostly driven by falling voice and broadband RGUs, and also not yet sufficient growth on TV and mobile. And again, that is the hope going forward, that the TV products and TV services will gradually be offsetting declining voice revenue. In home segment, adjusted EBITDA margin was 25.6% in the third quarter. And margin-wise, it was lower than before due to increased advertising in the third quarter, and we were quite quiet in the first two quarters of this year. However, it was higher margin versus 2011 thanks to higher share of on-net customers and also extracted synergies from Dialog and Crowley. ARPUs remained relatively stable in all product lines, in line with our strategy to be focused on customers of a high end rather than repricing the customer base. That is in line with also losing some of the low end customers, as you will see later on. In that home segment, allocated capital expenditure was at 19 million zlotys in the third quarter, so that led into a positive operating free cash flow at the level of close to 50 million zlotys, 49 exactly. So that's the view of the home segment. And if you look into the right-hand column on page 3, the business segment, again, just to repeat, Dialog and Crowley customers now are fully served on our Netia, new Netia business organization. So for the business segment, revenue was 247 million in the third quarter, down by 2% if you compare it to second quarter, but up 30% year-on-year basis, again, a result of consolidation of Crowley and Dialog business customers. We had RGU growth in that segment, but it has been offset negatively by pressure on voice ARPU. So that is the trend we've seen before, and we will see going forward. But also in the third quarter, there has been one major item driving lower revenue, and it is a carrier low-margin transit services, which accounted for really half of the lost revenue in that quarter. So that is more an opportunistic revenue which we go after only there is a satisfactory low margin, but satisfactory in the third quarter. We've taken a view and a decision on having just by half lower revenue. Adjusted EBITDA margin for that segment is close to 50%, 48.2% in the third quarter. And improving EBITDA is happening thanks to extraction of the synergies again, as in the home segment. But also high margin is maintained with introduction of Dialog and Crowley, higher share of net on-net customers. So that's important going forward. In that segment, capital expenditure is slightly higher than in the residential at 25 million, but with this high EBITDA margin, we have also operating free cash flow at a very healthy 94 million zlotys in the third quarter. Let's look deeper at what's going on particular services. On page 4, we have more details on the broadband front. And as you can see, sales volumes are down in what we consider a very weak market and also a strong price pressure from our key competitors. The good thing is that by now 46% of our customers, broadband customers, are served directly on our own network. That is a major shift compared to prior year where it was 35%. And going forward, this will be more and more important as that price pressure comes mostly on off-net customers where we also have lower margins to compete with due to unfavorably changing regulatory environment as well. On the results split of the broadband customers, you should also notice that Bitstream access and LLU results for the third quarter are including further migration of exactly 9.3 thousand customers from BSA into LLU. Also, as you can see, broadband ARPU was pretty flat at 56 zlotys compared to 57 in previous quarters. Let's look at the voice market. We maintain a share of that market at 20% as we also focus on value customers, targeting higher ARPU customers and upselling unlimited national call bundles. But there was a significant churn on the low-end customers, and we going forward, we see further discounting by key competitors in October. So the outlook for the voice services is rather worsening going forward for us. But again, here, also bigger proportion of customers start being serviced on direct on our own network, and it is 39% of voice customers versus an equivalent of 31% in 2011. Let's flip to page 6. Let's look at the television services because here there is a further progress in sales. We have now 73,000 of total services, television services in New Netia, with a stable ARPU of TV services of 42 zlotys. And it's important to remind ourselves that it's been only a year since we've introduced TV as a service, and we keep working on making it a winning proposition. So I'm confident going forward we will be better and better competing for customers with DTH platforms and cable TV operators. So a few examples of this improving TV proposition. In August 2012, Netia introduced a TV offer for business customers. We've introduced two packages similar to residential offer, but aiming at business customers, and one package designed specifically for Horeca businesses to broadcast television in public places. That's something business customers have been asking for, looking for, so they don't have to worry about limitations of public broadcasting anymore. In September 2012, Netia introduced a new pay-per-view feature. Not that we have a significant viewers right now, but it's a very successful experiment, and it should be also an important add-on feature going forward. Now we are also behind the friendly user tests successfully on smooth streaming, and now fully offered extending our reach. And going forward, by end of this year, we should test that smooth streaming technology on LLU customers, and I'm positive we should start rolling it out so the fully addressable base of customers with our TV offer will be expanding farther. And there is more to come early next year in terms of the features which will be making television a winning offer from our side. And as I said, this is our big hope to offset the declining voice revenue. Flipping to page 7, let's take a very brief look at our mobile subscriber base, which is stable. And unlike television, it is not really our key focus, and we are reviewing it with a decision of a long-term partnering strategy. Just very quickly, ARPU on the mobile broadband was at the level of 27 zlotys, down by 4% on quarter-on-quarter basis, and respectively, ARPU on mobile voice reached 27 zlotys, which was 4% up, and we ended quarter with a flat number of 62,000 subscribers on voice and 33,000 subscribers on mobile broadband. If you flip to page 8, we will now take a look at financial performance, and for that I will ask Jonathan Eastick to comment on those pages going forward. Jonathan?
Thank you very much, Marek. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you again for joining us on our third quarter and 9-month conference call. Just to kick off on slide 8, we'll go through the key figures from our financial performance. Revenue for the 9 months of 2012 came in at 1,602,000,000 zloty, which is up 34% on the as-reported number from last year. Of course, the major contributor there being the acquisitions of Crowley and Dialogue in December of last year. The year-to-date pro forma revenue last year would have been 1,636,000,000 zloty, which means a 2.1% decrease year-on-year, and we'll be talking a lot over the next couple of slides on the reasons for the decline in the revenue. Looking at Q3 revenue, we came in at 521.1 million zloty, 3% down quarter on quarter and 4% down versus the prior year pro forma for the quarter. The news on margins on adjusted EBITDA is, however, much more positive. For the 9 months, we came in at 447 million zloty of adjusted EBITDA. For New Netia, that's 49% up on the as-reported number of a year ago, but most importantly, it's also 10% up on the pro forma figure of $407 million for the first three quarters of last year, had we already been operating as a single company. The major reasons behind the improvement, which has led to a 30.2% EBITDA margin, which is a new record for the group. The major reasons are, first of all, the progress being made on synergies is offsetting the margin that we are unfortunately losing with the falling revenue. But as you'll see on the following slides, the type of revenue we are losing is relatively low margin, lower than our average margin. And for that reason, we're able to maintain the profitability growth in the immediate future. One comment on the net debt position. We finished the quarter at $459 million, which is up slightly from $454 million at 30th of June. The major reason for this is accrued interest. It was a quarter where we didn't pay interest to the banks, and nor did we make any loan repayments. There was a large temporary VAT payment to the tax office related to the network that we bought from Dialog at Netier SA. That money will come back to the company during the course of the fourth quarter, but it did have a net impact of 14 million zloty on free cash flow. And of course, our buyback program also had a big impact on the net debt. We paid out 45.6 million zloty during the course of Q3. And as of yesterday, so far this year, we've paid out 81.2 million zloty for 13.8 million shares, which is 3.56% of our share capital. So moving on to slide 9, which gives a more detailed overview of the revenue picture. Here we're comparing to pro forma figures for the consolidated new Netia in 2011. You can see that the major contributor to the fall in revenues is voice services. Voice services are down 9% year-on-year at 242 million zloty versus 268 million in Q3 of last year. They're down 3.6% quarter-on-quarter. The major reasons for that, obviously, the decline in the RGU base for voice services year-on-year is 4.5% and quarter-on-quarter is 2.1%. We finished September with 1,678,000 voice services. The second major component, obviously, is on ARPU. There, it's really quite a mixed story. On network, the ARPU has come down quite significantly, from 53 zloty down to 46 zloty. But that's a comparison of as-reported old Netia versus new Netia. Dialog had significantly lower ARPU than Netia on almost all types of voice service, so that's partly reflecting a mix effect. However, as Mirek mentioned, we are seeing significant ARPU erosion on corporate customers, and up until now we've managed to keep our WLR ARPUs relatively stable by focusing on the high end of the subscriber base. However, in the last week or two, one of the major competitors, TPSA, has announced significant price reductions on that part of the market, which makes us very cautious for the ARPU outlook going forward on the voice services. On data, we had a decline of 2.5% during the quarter, from 201 million last quarter to 196 million zloty. This is partly represented by the small organic decline that we had of 1.7% in the subscriber base. We had 904,000 RGUs last quarter, 889,000 at the end of September. There was also a 1% decline in ARPU from 57 to 56 zloty quarter versus quarter, again reflecting price reductions that we had to respond to during the course of Q3. But overall, the revenue there holding up much, much better than on voice services. P4 contract, the legacy P4 contract we had from the days when we were a partial owner of P4, has basically now run out completely, so you don't see that revenue source separately. We do continue to trade with P4. They're a significant wholesale customer, but on our core network rather than providing them backhaul to their radio transmission network. Moving on to slide 10 and quickly going through the operating segments. We've now finished allocating all the customer bases of Dialogue and Crowley into our normal operating mix of four customer segments. So Dialogue customers can now be found allocated to all four segments. Crowley didn't have any residential customers, so their customer base is allocated across the three business segments. There's also a business that used to belong to Dialogue called Petrotel, which is based in the Płock area of Poland. And that relatively small on-network business we're continuing to treat as an other segment business because we haven't yet done anything to integrate it into the overall group. So its figures are not reflected in these four segments. So looking at the segments one by one, the residential segment is down revenue-wise 4% at 265 million zloty, 4% down quarter on quarter versus Q2. However, the margins are holding up very well. As Mirek mentioned, we increased advertising spending towards the end of Q3, and that accounts for the slight decline in the margins. In fact, in all four segments, you can see a significant increase in margin compared to the as-reported figures for old Netia for last year. And that's because both Dialogue and Crowley were disproportionately to Netia using on-net or using their own network to serve their customers, which translates into much higher EBITDA margins. So you see across the board better margins than last year, and that's boosted even further by the synergy activities that we've delivered from our integration activities. Corporate revenue holding up the best of all, just 1% down quarter on quarter. There was an MTR reduction which just kicked in during the quarter. Some of the more sophisticated corporate customers immediately look for discounts when that happens. But in general, there's a lot of pressure on voice ARPU, in particular in the corporate segment. Data, however, continues to grow very nicely. Soho SME, you can see significant margin improvement coming through, mainly as a result of the synergy activity. There was a marginal drop in the top line during the quarter. On the carrier side, the major reason for the revenue drop, as Mirek mentioned, was lower activity on transit services. They're very low margin services, and as a result, the EBITDA margin moved up very nicely to 43% from 38% in Q2. On slide 11, performance or the operating cost that we don't allocate into the segments that I just went through is presented on the top left-hand side. You can see here again clearly the impact of the synergies that we're extracting from the acquisitions. We had 38 million of costs, 7% of revenue reported in Q3. We had 9% of revenue going through fixed costs back in Q1 this year. So that's obviously a major contributor to the margin improvement. And just by way of reference, on the right-hand side of this slide, you can see that having now integrated fully the revenues of Dialogue and Crowley into the new Netia business, you can see that it's had a remarkably small impact on the mix of revenues across our four customer segments, and it's also had a relatively small impact on our mix between data and voice services. Voice services, you can see on the bottom chart, including Dialogue and Crowley, is at 46% of the total, just marginally up from 44% when you look at old Netia in the third quarter of this year. Slide 12 just emphasizes the mix of EBITDA and free cash flow between the different customer segments. This is now, we presented something similar to this 3 months ago, but now it's fully integrated with Dialogue and Crowley, where we weren't able to do such an analysis 3 months earlier. So you can see that the residential business of Nunet here is contributing 52% of revenue, but it only accounts for 36% of adjusted EBITDA and 34% of the free cash flow. Conversely, the business segments are about 48.3% of revenues, but they're bringing in 64% of our adjusted EBITDA and even more, 66% nearly, of our operating free cash flow. So that really shows the robustness of the business segment. Profitability, obviously, is much higher, partly because we're doing most services on our own network, which obviously leads to somewhat higher capex spending relative to revenue, but also obviously ARPUs tend to be higher on the business segment. Over the page on slide 13, quick update on capital investment and free cash flow. We've spent now 203 million zloty on capital investment for the first 9 months of 2012. What's most striking for me and most important is versus the pro forma of last year, that's down 11.5%. We significantly changed the NGA upgrade strategy at Dialog. They're now focused more on VDSL than on PON services. We've also finished the LLU rollout on New Netia, which took down the broadband spending year on year by about 24 million zloty. There is an increase on network and IT, and that's mainly around capacity extension and spending on the integration project, which is about 9 million zloty so far this year. Free cash flow is looking extremely encouraging. We had 244 million zloty of free cash flow for the 9 month period of 2012. Compared to the pro forma of last year of 178 million zloty, we're up 80% versus free cash flow of the old Netia business, which was 135 million zloty at this stage of last year. And obviously, that's coming through on both the lower capex and also the higher EBITDA margins on the new business. Slide 14 is a quick look at what's going on below adjusted EBITDA down to the net profit. Not too much new to report here. The trends are very similar to what we've discussed in earlier quarters. We spent 4.5 million additional during Q3 on integration projects of various kinds. And 4.2 million was reserved for restructuring of the employee base. 3 million of that was related to a payment to Ericsson, who've taken over almost 200 employees from the Dialog and Crowley maintenance functions, and they're now restructuring. They were already providing outsourced maintenance for Netia on Netia's network, and we've now tasked them with restructuring that function and optimizing it. So we'll contribute to the costs of headcount reduction on their side, but in return we're going to get much lower cost to revenue when it comes to maintenance going forward. So the next couple of slides, starting with slide 15, deal with progress on the integration. Things are still going forward at full steam. We've calculated that we captured approximately 48 million zloty of synergy for the first three quarters of 2012. That compares to 24 million at the 6 month mark, which means roughly 24 million zloty of savings compared to last year in Q3, and 6 million more than we had in Q2. In terms of projects completed, 75 projects now complete on the OPEX side, 19 on the CAPEX side. You can see the pace of progress, 21 projects completed during the quarter. and our current estimate for the full year effect of the savings that have already been secured for next year is 80 million zloty for the whole 12-month period. Just to remind you, the target is 120 million zloty of savings on an annualized basis, plus another 10 million zloty on capital investment on a recurring basis. We're very much on track to deliver those numbers. One of the main areas, obviously, you can see that the effect of the synergies is on the employment base. We finished building a single organization management-wise back in the first half of the year. We're now taking the operational headcount reductions. You can see that we had 2,802 pro forma employees at June of last year. And as of September of this year, we're down to 2,144 active employees. That's 23.5% down on the situation 15 months ago. There's 470 headcount gone out of the organization so far, many of which have been on the organized headcount reduction program of 519 headcount. But the second wave of those reductions is actually under implementation at the moment. Most of the staff received on that second wave received their redundancy notices in October. And so in Q4, you should see further reductions in the headcount coming through in the numbers. You also see here the 188 employees that we just outsourced in September to Ericsson, as I mentioned earlier. So just to conclude quickly before I hand back to Mirek, the revenue loss that we have been encountering is mostly on relatively low margin services. We've been able to offset the resulting loss in margin very comfortably with the synergies, and as a result, the free cash flow is building very nicely. The business segment is performing very robustly and producing a lot of free cash flow, and our financial position stays very stable and very satisfactory with leverage at 0.76 times the EBITDA forecast for the year. So with those comments, I'll hand back quickly to Mirek.
Thank you, Jonathan. Let's flip to page 17 and have a look at the guidance with the RGUs underperformance. We are revising our guidance for the full year down to 2,650,000 RGUs. That's down from 2,750,000 we've been guiding for after the second quarter. Revenue, we keep as guided in the second quarter at 2,125,000,000 We keep, as John mentioned, EBITDA guidance unchanged. Obviously, the EBITDA margin jumps to 28% as a result of slightly lower revenue. And adjusted EBIT at 125 million zlotys. Free cash flow, as a matter of fact, is improved compared to the original guidance by 30 million. We've guided for that already after the second quarter, and it comes at 330 million zlotys. And those numbers are not including the costs of integration and OPEX, as originally guided for, should come at 50 million, and integration CAPEX at 30 million, respectively. As I mentioned, we are in the process of reviewing our residential market strategy as a result of this new, weaker market conditions and recent aggressive price cuts from our key competitors. So we have to reflect the mostly voice RGU's decline. But as John mentioned, our focus, even in a bigger scale, should be on business segment customers, which is very healthy cash flow, television, and on the network RGUs. Summarizing, significant slowdown in the economy combined with a strong competitive pressure in residential segment is really driving and is responsible for the lack of growth in a fixed broadband and fixed voice in this year. New adaptive IP-based TV solution, as I said, is an opportunity to broader our addressable TV market, and we are hoping this to be able to offset some of the voice decline. Strongly cash generative business segment continues to mitigate residential segment challenges, while integration proceeds at full speed with a second wave of headcount reduction in progress, and synergies delivered by this activity, as well as lower share of lower margin products, bitstream, wholesale line rental, and carriers transit, drive the adjusted EBITDA profitability to a record high 30% EBITDA margin in the past quarter. Today we confirm financial guidance on track to be on track with the 600 million adjusted EBITDA target. That's almost 50% up on past year, and 330 million operating free cash flow, which is double from last year. Obviously, comparing it with the add-ons of Dialog and Crowley. We continue with earlier decided buyback programs. So just to reiterate, second tranche of share buyback program has been completed, and the third tranche is in progress, and that is aiming at buying up to 50 million or 2.5% of a share capital in the coming weeks and months. With that, I would like to turn to you for any questions you might have. Thank you for listening to our comments, and we will be happy to answer your questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You'll be advised when to ask your question. The first question comes by Ignor Sale from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I just wanted to understand the competitive environment and the net losses on the broadband side. I mean, first of all, who are you losing your customers to? Are they going to TPSA, or they're going to cable companies, or what's the and why do you try to investigate the reasons for the churn? Is it purely price related? Is it speed? Is it quality? And then the second question on the price reductions: what is your understanding of this goals? Is it to keep the existing base? Is it essentially cannibalizing? Does it have a cannibalizing effect, or does it help to bring new customers to competitors? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your questions. I'll start on the later one. Obviously, it's hard to comment on the competitors' actions, but looking at the incumbent results, it's obviously not doing any good to them, as they keep posting worsening results. It's hard to comment on that. But it does have a negative effect on us, and being specific on where do we lose broadband customers or broadband services to. There are two very different sources of churn. One is actually going to back to incumbent, and those are the bitstream access customers, where we are not able to, or we don't want to really compete on price anymore, as the regulated access margins are not attractive to us anymore, and we are actually continuously taking a look at the margin squeeze and the price squeeze activities, as we believe are taking place from PP side. The other source of, or the other direction of the losses is going to cable TV operators, and those are the areas where we still have mostly a single play broadband. Remedy for that is to move into a full triple play offer. So we are already seeing that on this upgraded infrastructure of NGA, where we are having a better offer of a 50 meg plus speeds and 100 meg speeds and working television services, our churn and our ability to compete is churn is going down and ability to compete is increasing. So the direction on that front is to make sure that we have a competitive TV offer, a triple play offer, and infrastructure which allows to deliver satisfactory triple play. So we can gradually slow down the churn there.
Mm-hmm. And maybe as a follow-up, what is the update on your own new tariff, new offer that you launched in the summer, which was competitive and I think was aimed at the low-end segment of the market? Can you share any insights on how it's progressing, the uptake of customers and progress toward against your expectations?
I think you're referring to the voice lower tariff.
No, I think it was in broadband. You launched 29 zloty.
Yeah, it's not delivering results as expected, but we also have seen TP going farther down in October again. So that's why we took down the guidance on the net adds in general, which is driven mostly by voice, but also by broadband, and mostly on broadband on Bitstream access.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Konrad Poleski from Espanto Santo. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, this is Konrad Księżopolski from Espirito Santo. I have a few questions. Your new RGU guidance implies minus 84,000 net erosion in fourth quarter. Fourth quarter is seasonally the best quarter, so which segments apart from fixed voice should double the erosion, could be the main drivers behind that very weak number, and what level of RGU erosion should we expect in 2013 as a result? Should we expect minus 100 or 200,000?
Conor, thanks for the question. The 2650 target that we put out, I mean, the short answer there is we're trying to get a little bit ahead of the curve. I mean, we previously reduced the guidance to 750, and you know, Q3 has been disappointing compared to what we were hoping for. And on top of that, now TPSA has followed up their broadband price reductions by having where they've had this very aggressive offer for up to 10 megabits. With much lower prices now on high-end stationary voice services, where, for example, we were doing very nicely selling free calls or unlimited calls evenings and weekends at 49, almost 50 zloty. They've just come out with an offer at 41.5 zloty. For a comparable package. So we're anticipating in the short run at least that there may be an acceleration of losses on the WR side in particular. In other areas we would hope that things don't get any more serious than we see at the moment. As for next year, I mean, it's too early to give some guidance. As Mirek mentioned, we're reviewing now the residential strategy. We need to decide whether or not we want to deploy more capital and try and get more aggressive, which would have one impact on RGUs. or whether we want to be more defensive, and that would give us a very different RGU profile. So that's what we're reviewing at the moment. Is it ARPU and more RGU loss, or is it lower ARPU and a better RGU performance? We can't really comment on which it will be for another couple of months.
Okay, thank you. And follow up, so if you downgraded RGU guidance, why your revenue guidance for 2012 remained unchanged? Assuming average ARPU of 30 to 40 zlots for those lost RGUs in the fourth quarter, it implies around 7 to 10 million lower revenues as a result of that RGU erosion in the fourth quarter. So why the revenues are unchanged?
Mainly because it's, I mean, I would agree with you that the risk is on the downside on that number. But generally speaking, unless the movements are really material, we try not to change the guidance just for small, relatively small differences. But I would agree with you that it is on the downside.
Okay. Another question from my side. How do you feel with your long-term EBITDA margin guidance of 27 to 29%? Concerning, of course, current market environment and increasing competition, etc.
As you can see, I mean, we're already well above that level now. We've hit 30%. So I mm-hmm. think in the short run, we're relatively comfortable. The review of how we're going to run the residential market longer run is crucial, though, to what that guidance and what the free cash flow will look like. If we stay more on network, I think there's plenty of room to keep good EBITDA margins. If we try and fight back on off network, that could start to have an impact on the margins. But we haven't made that decision right now.
Yes, I mean, you are above that range. However, you also mentioned that you feel a strong pressure from the corporate segment on pricing, and the segment is margin accretive for you. So that's my question. That's the reason why I asked this question. How do you feel with that range in the long to mid-term horizon?
Yes, we've mentioned on the voice front of the business feeling the pressure, but that in the business segment there are many positive offsetting trends on the data front. Some of the projects for the LTE infrastructure development, for instance, and in general, data transmission requirements are nicely meeting our infrastructure offer. In the business segment, there is actually more positive, hopeful news to come than negative. And the starting point, as you see, is closer to 50% EBITDA margin. So depending on how aggressively we're going to, as John's mentioned, fight for the residential segment, nevertheless, the share of the business segment with the closer to 50% EBITDA margin is having a major impact on the weighted margin, EBITDA margin.
Okay, thank you. Another question, if I may. Could you give us a flavor? What is your long term maintenance capex level, assuming no growth projects, but maintaining current shape of the network?
It's not an easy question to answer, but in the region of 175 million a year, something like that. I mean, if we completely turned off everything but, literally maintenance plus selling enough on corporate to keep the base stable, you'd probably be in the region of 175.
Okay, and the last questions from my side. Could you give us an update on TK Telecom process? Do you expect this process to close within 3 to 6 months time horizon, and how you determine to to acquire this asset if it's put on sale?
I mean, as Nirek mentioned, I think last quarter, it's not so obvious to us that PKP will be able to close that transaction in that kind of time frame. There remain the same uncertainties that there were 3 months ago. Nothing has really changed from our perspective in terms of the project moving forward or the process moving forward. So it doesn't look like it was an imminent transaction from our perspective.
Okay, and for you, it's an attractive asset, TK Telecom?
Well, you would appreciate that we can't comment too much at this stage, as the transaction is open, as you know from the publicly available information. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes to Tres Maxwell from UniCredit. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Just two questions. You mentioned that the residential segment is accounting for 52% of revenues and about 36% of EBITDA. Could you give us an idea of what share of your residential customers is bundled into at least double play contracts? And second question, given the falling CAPEX needs and that are necessary, and the debt service level as well as capital repayments, what would be the estimated annual value of cash flows still available for distribution?
Okay, answering the first question, we have KPIs in the press release on that subject that you can track quarter to quarter. As I recall, we had 31% of the base are at least double play customers on the residential segment. And you can find that KPI in the press release on the KPI page. Could you be a little bit more specific on the second question?
Yes, if you were to take the free cash flows and the cash flows in general, and deduct the necessary capex, the annual capex that you see, and plus deduct the interest payments and the capital repayment schedule, what would be the remaining cash flow that will be available for distribution to shareholders?
Okay, I understand. This year, the adjusted free cash flow is 330, whereas within that, the integration-related capex and opex is about 80 million. So there's 250 million of actual free cash flow expected this year. The annual payments are about 130 million zloty. And interest payments are just over, will be about 35 million zloty. So it's about 165 million zloty of debt service that we need to handle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So basically, the figure in the middle there, is the current surplus. But also bear in mind we have 130 million of cash on hand right now, which is almost enough to pay. Well, it is enough to pay 1 year of. Of debt repayments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes live from Master Hart from BZWBK. Thank you.
Hello, I think it was me. Two questions. The first one on CAPEX. I understand it's too early for you to guide for 2013 CAPEX, but let's play with figure 2270. Can you tell us, will 2013 CAPEX exceed 270 million of CAPEX paid in 2012?
Pavel, if we don't make any material changes to the way we're running the residential business, then we should be in that area.
Okay. And material changes could be either up or down.
Right. I mean, if we decided to accelerate significantly, then obviously it could go up, and if we decided to decelerate significantly, then it could go down. Right. But
sure.
If we carry on running the business as we are at the moment, then yeah, I mean that looks a reasonable estimate.
Sure. Mm-hmm. It's just because you are mentioning below 15%, but that's related to different level of revenues and potentially 15% is much more than 270. And other question, you specified your synergies on slide 15 at 48 as of September the 30th. Can you give me an idea where those OPEX synergies would be by year end?
The run rate for the third quarter was about 24. So we're probably going to be well over 70 million for the full year.
Over 70. That would leave if you stick to 120 goal. That would leave some 40-50 million upside for EBITDA for next year. Is that correct?
Right. I mean, the way to think about it is the number of is the forward 12-month projection on a project that's been finished, right? So the 75 mm-hmm. projects that we'd finished as of September was worth 80 million out of the 120 that we're targeting. So I would expect us to be at around about 100 million full year effect by the end of the year, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we have 70 booked for the current year, then that would mean there's an upside of 30.
Upside of 30.
Yeah.
How it compares to 120? Because could you guide me where the difference between 120 and 100 comes from?
Well, that will be the projects that get finished during the course of next year. Yeah, so on projects finished through the end of this year, there should be an upside of 30 next year because of the timing effect.
And okay, so you expect another 20 for the year 2014?
Yeah, exactly. So there might be another 10 or so next year because of projects that get finished next year.
I get it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You now have a follow-up question about Nick Nostanov from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Can you explain the changes in the working capital? It was quite negative in Q3. Is it just something of a one-off nature? Is it basically what happened here? And
Yeah, I mean, there were two major elements. One was what I mentioned during my comments, that Netia SA bought a major part of the Dialog network at the end of Q2 this year in order to organize things better operationally. The result of that is that you had that Dialog had to pay output VAT when they made the sale, and we're able to offset that for Netia SA. That's input VAT, and that is offset month by month against the VAT return. So we're getting the money back gradually, but the net impact on the quarter was 14 million. So that was quite a big working capital impact. The other thing was just the way the calendar fell in the quarter. There was a relatively high outstanding balance on receivables at the end of September, but that money came back in early the following month at the beginning of October. Those are the major items. So nothing
okay.
Major.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I'll now hand the call to Mr. Godlewski for his final comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for all your questions. And as always, looking forward to the face-to-face meetings following the quarterly results. Thank you very much and have a good day.